I'm going to talk more about you guys as we go, okay? And I do appreciate you, and I have been blessed by my time here. And we're going to talk about that today, actually. But first, I don't know if you've seen some of these posts on Facebook. It seems like the new year is often a time to reflect. And when people reflect, they often share their opinions. Have you noticed that? About what we should do in this new year. You know, I've seen lists of, you know, the things you need to do to make your new year a success. Have you seen any of those? Have you gotten any advice from people about how to live your life this year? Okay. So I'm not going to give you any. But I am going to, I came up with two questions that I'm going to ask myself this year. And if you like them and you want to use them, you can. But they're not advice. When I'm thinking about bringing something into my life or taking part in something, I'm going to ask two questions. Where did it come from, and who will I share it with? Where did it come from, and who will I share it with? I'll give you a really important example of this. I was back east last month at my brother's house, and he's doing a new recording. And the whole band was over at the house. There was a film crew there because they're filming a documentary. And my sister-in-law is an amazing cook. But it was just too many people. So they catered the dinner, which is a rare event in our household, okay? You got food from outside. So one of the guitar players and I were standing near the table where the food was, and we're checking it out, and there was some sausage and peppers in a big pan. We like sausage and peppers. And Steve says to me, "So what do you think? Should we, you know, is it worth trying?" So I said to my sister-in-law, "Sachi, where did this come from?" She said, "Battaglia's." I said, "Steve, we're in." Battaglia's is great food. So I wanted to know where it came from. And then I felt really good recommending it to Steve and sharing it with him because I love Steve. So I'm going to be asking that question this year. I have to buy a used car, which is not a fun thing. I'm going to want to know where that car came from. I'm going to want to know who owned that car because I'm going to be sharing that car with my grandchildren. So it needs to be a safe car. It needs to be easy to put car seats in and out of. So I'm going to ask, where did it come from and who I'm going to share it with? So if you like those questions, you can use them this year. Now, why did I bring that up? Not just to be silly. Because not only is this the new year, but it's a new season for Edgewater. And I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about John being here. I'm excited about his family being here. I'm excited about what God's going to do here at Edgewater. And I've been thinking about how I'm going to be praying for you. And so I'm going to talk to you about some things that I'm going to be praying for you. And I want you to ask the questions, where does it come from and who I'm going to share it with about these things, okay? And they're from the letter to the Philippians, which is one of my favorite letters in the New Testament. Paul is writing to a church that he cares deeply about. He's very affectionate in this letter. And it has some really great themes. It has themes of joy and suffering. And isn't that life? There's always something to rejoice in. We rejoice in God and his goodness. And we mourn the suffering that we have to go through. We mourn the suffering of our loved ones. We mourn evil in the world. So there's always joy and suffering. And those are the themes of this great book. And I found some wonderful things in here that I want to be praying for you. And so I want to tell you what they are, and then I'm going to tell you what I think you're going to need to do to get there. So here are the things that I'm going to be praying for you. And if you have your Bible, you might want to open it to Philippians because we're going to be spending our time in there today. Philippians 1, verse 2. Paul gives a greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to be greeted like that. Wouldn't you? Grace and peace to you from God. Where's the grace and peace coming from? From God. Would you want to share that with somebody? Yeah. And I'm praying for that for you, that you will receive grace and peace from God and you'll share it amongst yourselves and with the community. And then after that greeting, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you, and I do thank God for you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm going to pray that you are confident in the work that God has started here. When God started this church, he had some things in mind. And he's done great things here, and I think he has more great things to do. And I'm going to pray that you have confidence in that, that God is not done. He's just starting. And that he's going to bring that work to completion. And the last thing, it starts in verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'm going to pray that your love, the love that you share with the church family, with your own family, with the community, is full of knowledge and depth of insight. That means that love will always be appropriate. It will always accomplish what God wants done. That's the kind of love that I want to pray that you receive and share. Does that sound good? Anybody like that? Okay. And I'm asking this for you because I really care what happens here. And I am looking forward to hearing about how God brings these things into you and through you. So I wish that I could just pray these things for you and they would just happen. Wouldn't that be great? But God has decided that he wants human cooperation. And if you've ever heard me speak, you've heard me use the phrase cooperate with God, haven't you? It's one of my favorite ideas. God has decided that he needs our cooperation. He's made it so. He wants us to cooperate with him. So, how are you going to do that so that you receive and share God's grace and peace? So that you receive confidence from God and share that with one another. So that you receive a love that's full of insight and knowledge. How's that going to happen? Well, there's this flow that happens. And I think I talked about it the very first Sunday I was here at Edgewater. There's a flow of good things when we receive them from God. I'm going to outline it really quickly, and then we're going to talk some more about how that happens in Jesus' life and how it happened, how Paul saw it happening. First of all, the flow starts with God, right? We receive everything we need from our Father. And we see that in Jesus' life, don't we? Jesus would go off and spend time alone with the Father and receive from the Father everything he needed. He would say things like, I only do what I see the Father doing. He received his direction. He received power. He received everything good from his Father. And that's where the flow starts. So we need to start there too. We need to receive everything good that we're going to share from our Father. And then what we receive from the Father overflows into our household and faith community. Don't we want things like grace and peace and confidence and love in our family, in our church community? Yeah. But it has to start with the Father and then overflow into our household and faith community. Jesus did this. He shared what he received from the Father. He didn't keep it to himself. He called his disciples so he could share it with them. And they received from Jesus. And then the overflow from our household and faith community goes out into the larger community. Wouldn't you like to see that happen? Can you imagine what would happen to Pittsburgh if God's peace and grace flowed out from this place on a regular basis in a strong way, and confidence in the work of God and a love that's full of insight and knowledge? Can you imagine what that could do? And that's what Jesus did. He and his followers shared the kingdom of God with everyone who would listen. And it spread, didn't it? It spread. Now, How does this flow happen? How do we get it going and how do we sustain it? It's a good question, right? In order for this flow to happen, there needs to be imitation. Imitation. And again, we've talked about this before, but we need to imitate Jesus and follow the example of others who are imitating Jesus. And Paul knew this principle and he taught it to the church at Philippi. There are several verses, and I'll just highlight a few. He urged the Philippians to imitate Jesus and also to follow his example, Paul's example, as well as the example of others who imitated Jesus. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians 3:17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So Paul said, you want to be able to imitate Jesus, you can follow me in the way that I imitate Jesus and keep your eye on those who live like we do. Keep your eye on them. Watch them. In Philippians 4:9, Paul says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And there's a benefit. The God of peace will be with you if you do this. I want the God of peace to be with me. So I guess it would be good if I put it into practice, the ways of Jesus. Philippians 2:22 says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. In those days, sons followed their dads into the family business. That's what they did. We didn't say, I wonder what I'm going to do with my life. You know, you followed your dad in the family business and Timothy followed Paul into the family business, which is spreading God's kingdom. He imitated his spiritual father. And so Paul said, you can imitate Timothy because he's imitating me as I imitate Jesus. And Paul had a really good picture of what he wanted the Philippians to imitate in order to get this flow going and keep it going. And there's a really beautiful, poetic picture of Jesus in Philippians 2, 5-11. And I think if we meditate on this, if we think about this, if we imitate this, I don't think there's any limit to what God could do. Listen to this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. All right, right there I'm challenged. That means when I walk up to somebody, I have the same mindset that Jesus would have towards that person. I've already blown it. But that's a goal, and God wants to help me. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Let's look at this picture and see what the flow looked like in Jesus' life. According to what is written here, how did Jesus show and share God's grace and peace? Well, grace is a gift from God that we don't deserve. And Jesus brought the gift of salvation. And so I need to ask myself, am I a person who carries with me the gift of salvation? Do I share that with people? Have I received it from God myself and let it change me? And do I share that with people? And how about peace? Jesus made peace between mankind and God. He was a peacemaker. He brought reconciliation. Is that something I do? Is that something we do as a church family? Jesus did it. He shared God's grace and peace. There's this incredible image in Isaiah 53:5. It's a prophecy about Messiah. And it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. The punishment that brought us peace. Jesus brings us peace through his broken body and blood. Jesus brought God's grace and peace, and we can imitate that. We can do that too. How did Jesus cooperate with God so that the work that God began in him was completed? I believe Jesus was very confident in the work that God was going to do through him, the work that the Father was going to do through him. He was so confident that he took on the nature of a servant. He was so confident in that he took on human form. He limited himself and became, in appearance, as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And God's work through him was finished. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. God completed that work through him, the work of reconciliation. God brought it to completion. Jesus was confident in what the Father would do through him, and he saw it through to completion. I don't know if I'm that confident all the time. I do know I'm not. I wonder if God's going to do in me what needs to be done. My confidence needs to be nurtured, and I would imagine yours does too. Jesus completed the work that God gave him to do. And how did Jesus show and share God's love? A love that was full of insight and knowledge. Well, he did the exact perfect thing that needed to be done. It says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That was an act of love, full of the insight and knowledge of God. It was the exact thing that needed to be done. So, if we want to see these things happen at Edgewater, we need to imitate Jesus. And we need to watch the people who are imitating Jesus and follow in their footsteps and learn from them. Now, I want to say that in the time that I've been here, I've certainly learned a lot. And I've picked up some things to imitate. I'll just mention a couple of things, and if I leave you out, it doesn't mean I didn't learn anything from you. There's a prayer group that meets on Tuesdays, and it's been a blessing to me to be a part of that group, to be with people who love to pray. And it's encouraged me to pray, and it's been a blessing to me, and I'm imitating that. There's a group of people that come in early in the morning before you guys get here, and they set up all this stuff, and they humble themselves and take the role of a servant. And there's people who take it down at the end of our time together. And I've learned a lot from them. How they do it cheerfully. And they do it willingly. And I'm trying to imitate that. It's a beautiful thing. Your leaders and your staff have taken on the role of a servant. Especially in this time of transition. And you have a staff that is small but mighty. And Cindy and Peter, you guys have been a blessing to me. And your leadership has sacrificed a lot to stay strong during this time of transition. So there's a lot for me to imitate, and I thank you for that. So I want to ask you, what do you envision? How do you see God's grace and peace affecting you, affecting your family, affecting this community? How do you see a confidence in God completing the work that he has started? How do you see that affecting you, affecting your church family and your family at home, affecting this community? How do you see God's love affecting you, affecting this church family, affecting this community in this coming year? I'd like us to think about that for a moment, and I'd like us to pray, and I would like to hear you pray these things for this church, for yourself, for your families, and if you're comfortable praying out loud, I think that'd be wonderful. We're just going to take a little time to do that, and again, I want to encourage you to pray for the ways that you want to see God's grace and peace. You want to see the completion of his work. You want to see his love happen. And then I'll close and we're going to move into a time of communion. But let's take some time to pray. Anybody who feels led.
First of all,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
With us as we are in this transition, being our leader, our first leader, picking out people for us and being very selective. We thank you for your mighty love. Thank you for your hands for protection.
Thank you.
We thank you for our families. We thank you for your love. We thank you for giving us the hearts to give. We thank you for your guidance in every step we take.
Thank you.
5 and 6, Lord. Let us lean on you. Let us ask you for understanding and guidance.
Yes, Lord.
And not lean on our own knowledge.
Yeah.